I invite your attention once again to the Word, this time from Acts chapter 17, verses 22 through 31. This will be our sermon text for today. And the text that Leanna read earlier about words of Jesus where he said, I will not leave you as orphans because I will live, you will live too. Let's hold those words in mind as we hear these words from Acts 17, beginning with 22. Listen for the word of the Lord. Paul stood up in the middle of the council on Mars Hill and said, People of Athens, I see that you are very religious in every way. As I was walking through town and carefully observing your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. What you worship as unknown, I now proclaim to you. God who made the world and everything in it is Lord of heaven and earth. He doesn't live in temples made with human hands, nor is God served by human hands, as though he needed something, since he is the one who brings life, who gives life, breath, and everything else. From one person, God created every human nation to live upon the whole earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their lands. God made the nations so that they would seek him, perhaps even reach out to him and find him. In fact, God is not far from any of us, for in God we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are God's offspring. Therefore, as God's offspring, we have no need to imagine that the divine being is like a gold statue or a silver or stone image made by human skill and thought. God overlooks ignorance of these things in times past, but now directs everyone everywhere to change their hearts and lives. This is because God has set a day when he intends to judge the world by one whom he has appointed. God has given proof of this to everyone by raising that one from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In this passage, Luke relates that Paul, one of the earliest Christian evangelists and teachers, was in Athens, the great Greek city. And it was a place where the culture was multifaceted. There were many religions. There were many people of faith, but they all aimed their faith and their prayers in different directions. And so in an interest to be inclusive, the politicians of the city erected all of these monuments to these different gods across the culture of the Greco and Roman world. They were attempting to cover all their bases. And as Paul notes, they even had one last sculpture and one last inscription just in case they missed some god somewhere along the way, someone's god, some culture's god. Just in case they made one last one that said to an unknown god. It was like the variable in a math problem, except the variable is usually solvable for a particular answer. And they meant this variable to be solvable with any answer. And so, Paul was complimenting them on their thoroughness. And yet at the same time, he was laying the groundwork to teach them that only one is the way. And he makes a very interesting claim. He teaches them that this inscription, this altar, and this God that they had claimed to an unknown God, this is the God who made heaven and earth. This is the God who is not served by human hands, but who created every human nation to live on the earth and appointed their times and seasons and their boundaries. This God who made the nations so that they would seek Him. This, Paul claimed, is the God, the unseen God, in whom we live and move and have our being, the one in whom we exist. This God is not dependent upon a statue to remind everyone of Him. This God is not dependent upon our recognition. This God is all through. God is in all and through all and beside all. This God has made Himself known to us in Jesus Christ. But this God is one who, because of the very evidence of sending the Son, Christ, is a God who wants to be known. Not a God who is unknown, or one who seeks to be honored in some obscure way. But this God whom we serve is one who seeks to be known in Jesus Christ. The coming of Jesus is evidence of that. God is not far away. We tend to put God up in the sky and say God is up there, out there, over there, when truly God's very presence resides in us and with us and in our actions and in our relationships and in our homes. This God, whom we have trouble seeing sometimes, we feel and know that God is with us. God doesn't seek to be enshrined in an object, a statue, or anything else. But this God whom these folks wanted to honor, this unknown God, by this one last statue, this one last variable that could stand for anything that they might have forgotten, they wanted to claim this last statue represents an unknown God. But Paul says something dramatic in the answer to that. He says, this God whom you claim is unknown is known to us in Jesus, whom He sent to be like us and like Him and to point the way. In this God, we live and move and have our being. We have our hope. See, our hope is placed not in a God who is unknown, but a God who is known through Christ and in many other revealing ways. This God whom we worship through Jesus Christ is not distant, but present. This God is not a statue to be remembered by a statue to the unknown God, but by the presence and the life and resurrection and the being and the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. This Jesus teaches us to remember Him, and we do it. And you know, to remember is kind of a descriptive word. To re means to do again, and to member something means to give it flesh, to give it life. To remember is to give Jesus and the gospel life again and again and again by our own telling and by our own living of life in the gospel. To remember is to live again, to give life, to give presence, to give breath again. As God has breathed into us the gift of life, so we breathe it out to others. When Jesus was leaving the disciples, he blew on them and said, "Receive this gift of life, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit." And that breath is the same wind that blew on the day of Pentecost and swept across the room of the earliest disciples and empowered them to live and love and teach and remember and to give that same Spirit to others. This Jesus, God has given us to show us God's very essence of love. This life and this love have been given to teach us the very essence of God. So that we know God is not out there somewhere waving around, wisping in the heavens, the clouds, the out there, whatever that may mean. That unknownness, that unknown factor, which ought to be represented with something concrete that we can see or touch or feel, like this idol to an unknown God. For our God is known. Our God is known to us in our daily life through the Spirit that lives and resides and gives us hope, teaches us, and gives us life. Our God is made real, made more real by Jesus and the images that we have of him that we worship. That, not that we worship the images, but the image that causes us to worship him. God, the God that we serve, has made extreme steps to be known. There is no need for us to build a variable so that we can know this God that is unknown, like the Greeks seemed to be thinking, building an idol to the unknown God. For our God is made real in life and in love, in sacrifice, in gift, and in giver. This life, this very life among us of God, the risen Lord, the risen Christ, the Spirit of truth, this God is known. And God is known among us so that God may be shared between us and around us and through us. Oh, that may sound like double talk, but it's not. It may sound like it's kind of mysterious. And, well, maybe it is. Not mysterious in a questionable sense, but in that God is mystery. And that we cannot fully understand God, which is why we worship. It is why we give ourselves. It is why we give our hope. It's why we live our lives out of love and care for others and keeping the commandments so that others can know this God who is known and sometimes known through us. The world does not always recognize him, but you know him in a personal way. God's promises are real and made real through Jesus Christ, who promised, "I won't leave you as orphans. I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you." He was saying his goodbyes to the disciples. He was saying, "The world will no longer see me, but you will still see me. And because I live, you will live too." This Jesus, this God, this Spirit is the one whom we worship. As we come this morning to the end of our service, I challenge you to live in the light of this Spirit of God. Not to just point the way to some distant unknown God that you want to remember that we don't forget. But let us point the way to the life of Jesus among us. The life of the risen Lord among us. By whom we know God and in whom we live and move and have our being. Thanks be to God.